A lot of times there's confusion and everything. So let me just say this. I do celebrate Christmas. I'm not big on putting up decorations myself. If people want to decorate the church, that's fine. Somebody, when I was pastoring at ACC, somebody else took care of it. Where I work, I could put up decorations there, but I never do because I just not into big decorations. My big decoration this year is two light bulbs, right, Ryan? One's red and one's green. And I, Same thing last year. I don't want to alarm the neighbors. So, I'll tell you a story. I was telling Jane this. One time when I was pastoring at ACC, there's a young boy that was from the neighborhood that started coming to church, and he decided to help us out by getting a Christmas tree. So he brought a Christmas tree, and I said, well, where did you get it? And he said, oh, I cut it down. And I was wondering whose yard might be missing, and we might get a visitor that Sunday saying, hey, whose tree is that? But anyway. I'm going to read the Christmas story out of Luke, and then I got some questions for you kids, so you guys better listen real careful, because I got like 20 questions.
Okay.
20 questions.
Up to 1,000,000,625.
Then we'll be here a long time, and you'll get hungry, and then you will be looking at those snacks. All right, so this is how the birth of Jesus came about. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And there were shepherds, and in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. And when the angel went away from them, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up these things, pondering them in her heart. And when the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word, and I just pray as we enter into your word that you would give us fresh revelation by your Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we'll put up on the overhead these questions, and the first one is, who told, we're looking at the answers already? Okay, who directed Mary and Joseph to go to Bethlehem?
Ew.
Eli?
B, an angel.
An angel. Nope. Any other guesses? Yes. I guess ultimately that is a good answer. I guess God used this guy named Caesar who told them to be registered. So we'll take that. We'll take that as a good answer. All right. So in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered, which is a way of being taxed. And so that was the big thing. Fortunately for us today, the IRS lets us do it from our own homes. But can you imagine everybody would have to go to the place where they're born? So I would have had to go back to Goshen, New York. You ready to go, Jane? She laughs. All right. Joseph's family was from where? Where was Joseph's family from? Jerusalem, Nazareth, Bethlehem, or none of the above? What do you think?
Nazareth.
Actually, it says in the scripture that Joseph went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which was called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. So his family was actually from Bethlehem. Yeah, I know you love the zoo. Okay. Okay. At that time, Mary and Joseph were married, just friends, engaged, or none of the above?
Friends.
What? Friends? Married. I hope they were friends.
Married.
They were married?
No, they were engaged.
Eli, you got it right. They were engaged.
Why did it light it up?
Because it lighted up. Because it says that they were he needed to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. Now, back in those days, I guess the way it worked was when you got engaged, that was kind of like you were legally betrothed to be married, and the idea was a year from then you were actually married. But at that point in time, they were actually engaged. Okay, so you can figure out all that kind of stuff, what that might have done in that day and time. Okay, guys, what did the innkeeper say to Mary and Joseph? Don't know. What?
Both A and C.
Both A and C. I have a stable out back. Come back after the holidays. There is no room in the inn. Both A and C? Or who knows?
I know.
What do you say?
There's no room in the inn.
There's no room in the inn. Actually, Blaze, you had the right answer. Don't know. We don't know. Actually, we don't even know if there was like an inn like we know it today. Back in those days, what a lot of times happened is the bottom part of the house was kind of like a stable. And then the second level of the house was where the people actually lived. And then you let the roof out for visitors and guests. So chances are there were so many people in Bethlehem at that time, and we'll get into that in a little bit later, but there were so many people there in Bethlehem at that time. Yeah, this is going on the internet, so whatever they're doing, that's all getting captured. There's so many people there that even the roofs were populated, and evidently somebody allowed Mary and Joseph to use the a stable for the birth of Jesus. Okay. So it says in Luke 2, verse 7, and she gave birth to her firstborn and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in the manger because there's no place for them in the inn. Okay. So when was Jesus born? Was it December 25th? January 6th, March, September, or who knows?
We don't know.
Okay, we don't really know is the correct answer. In the United States, we celebrate December 25th. Eastern Christians have traditionally celebrated January 6th. Because the shepherds, it says in Luke 2, verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. Typically, when the shepherds were out in the field keeping watch over the flock by night, was either in the spring or in the fall. So it wasn't. Chances are, they in December they would have been kept in inside in the stables or whatever. So chances are it was probably spring or fall. So some commentators believe, you know, like even in March might have been a time. However, I was when I was studying this out, I found one commentator that had an interesting observation. Looking at the birth of John the Baptist, who they believe was born 6 months before Jesus. The time his father, Zacharias, was going to be in the temple was dictated by his family. Going back his family lineage, they actually looked at it and figured out that chances are Jesus was born in September, based on when John the Baptist was born, based on when Zacharias' family would have had an opportunity to serve in the temple. So that's kind of interesting because that puts it right around the time frame of Rosh Hashanah, which the Jewish festivals, there were three basic big Jewish festivals. You had the Passover, you had Pentecost, and you also have what they called the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles, Rosh Hashanah, you know, and it would make sense to me, wouldn't it be just like God to sew this all into Jewish tradition that the Savior was born in that time during a Jewish festival? And maybe that's one of the reasons, in addition to everybody going to their hometown, maybe that's one of the reasons why there was no room in the inn, so to speak, because there were so many people there for the celebration of the Feast of Booths. So, and wouldn't, you know, it's kind of interesting because if it's true Jesus was born then we have, he died during the Passover, which we were just talking about here a week or two ago, and then it would make sense. The Holy Spirit came on Pentecost, and I typically think that the second coming of Jesus Christ is going to be during the Feast of Booths or the Feast of Tabernacles again. So I think he's going to come back the same time he was born. Now, that's just speculation on my part, but it would seem to fit. Wouldn't it seem to fit that you know the Lord would do something like that? So anyway, but yeah, the correct answer is, we don't really know. So why do we celebrate on December 25th? Any idea? Yeah?
I think it's because, I just learned that it was that December 25th was the day of, like, festivals and stuff that they do.
Yeah, you know, there used to be festivals done on what they thought was the shortest day of the year, which, you know, actually it was yesterday, but the shortest day of the year around the 25th. And it was kind of interesting that Jane and I were talking about this. Jane had an interesting observation that the celebrating Jesus' birth on the day where the night is the longest, we're bringing light into the darkness. And so it would make sense that's why they chose December 25th. But, you know, we don't really know. It's been that way since the 400s. AD that we've been celebrating on the 25th, or at least the western part of the Roman Empire and all that has been celebrating that. Does that make Christmas a pagan holiday?
Yeah.
Well, I like how Ravi Zacharias puts it. It doesn't matter what label you put on a bottle, if what's not what's inside of it is different than what the label says, right? You can put whatever label you want on it, look inside the bottle, and you know what's inside of it. So if you label it Christmas as a celebration of Jesus' birth, and you open the bottle and say, that's what they're doing, they're celebrating Jesus' birth, that's what we're doing, right? And it doesn't really matter what day we choose, you know? It doesn't really matter. What matters is we do celebrate it. And we celebrate his birth. Amen? You with me on this? Yeah? All right, cool. Cool. All right, that's good. All right. Okay. Who were among the first to visit Jesus when he was born?
The shepherds.
The shepherds. You're right. Right out the gate, she had that one. She nailed it. Yeah. Okay, so it was the shepherds, they came, it says in Luke 2, verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing which has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. Now, it's kind of interesting. Ryan was telling me about this, something he had picked up in YWAM, and I checked it out a little bit further, but it is interesting that what the commentators say is the shepherds in that area, they actually raise sheep to provide lambs for the Passover. they actually, that was what they were raising those sheep for. They were raising sheep for the lambs for the Passover. So it seemed very fitting because they were, you know, shepherds were considered lowly people, but these were a little bit higher up on the shepherd totem pole, so to speak, because they actually had to judge the lambs to see if they were worthy for the sacrifice. And so when they went to see Jesus, they were the first, among the first anyway. Obviously, Mary and Joseph were there and whatever animals were there at the time. But, I mean, they were among the first to inspect the baby Jesus. Okay, so when did the wise men show up? When did the wise men come? Anybody know when the wise men came? What do you think, Alexander? 2 years after the shepherd. And you say December 25th. Yeah, actually, the correct answer, you're very right, Alex. It's sometime after Jesus was born, within 2 years, because we know that when Herod had saw that he had been tricked by the wise man and became furious and sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem that were in that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. So the wise men saw the star, knew a king had been born, set out to go see this newborn king. So they did not arrive there on the night that Jesus was born. They arrived there within 2 years. So how many wise men were there?
Three.
You think three? What do you think?
Who knows?
All right. So the correct answer is, who knows? It says that in Matthew 2, verse 11, and going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him, and they opened their treasures. They offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So I guess traditionally we say three because of three gifts, but we really don't know. Could have been four, could have been seven. There you go. We know it was more than one. And chances are, bringing expensive gifts, they probably had a whole caravan. They probably brought servants and stuff like that. So you had this whole caravan of wise men, okay? Well, they probably had more camels than just three, but we don't know the exact number. So that leads me to the next question. What in the world are magi? We got Eastern kings, magicians, astrologers. What do you say?
Astrologers.
There are astrologers, and you are correct. So because it says in Matthew 2, 1 through 2, now Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea in the days of Herod the king. Behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. So basically, their astrologers, which pretty much at that time were astronomers too, they studied the stars, but they had a certain understanding. And if you ever been to a planetarium around Christmas time, they will tell you how these astrologers or whatever ascertained that it was a king. And how it was a king that was in
Jesus.
In
Jehovah.
Yeah.
About Jesus, we want to have him in our hearts.
Yeah, we do. That's very true. You're stealing my thunder here, kid. Okay. We're going to get to that at the end. All right. All right. So, anyway. When the wise men brought their gifts to Jesus, they found him in a manger, a house, vacation Bible school, or none of the above?
A manger.
A manger? What do you say, Eli?
I would say in a house.
That's right. It was in a house. Matthew 2, verse 11 says they were going to the house where they saw the child. So by that time, they were no longer in the stable. Now, I know nativity scenes and stuff, a lot of times they show three wise men. Sometimes they show three kings. There's been a lot of traditions assigned to it, the kings what they were kings of and their names and all that kind of stuff. I saw a special one time on TV, the fourth wise man. I think he overslept, didn't make it or whatever. You know, here's the thing you have to understand about Hollywood and all that kind of stuff. I remember listening to the then CEO of Disney, and he says, we start with a great story. And what a lot of these people have done is they started with a great story. What's a greater story than the birth of Jesus? But then, you know, they have their own, what we used to call poetic license, where they can make changes and everything to suit their own needs. Well, that's not being scriptural. So, anyway. Okay, how many angels spoke to the shepherds? Alex?
We don't know.
You say one. All right. And Micah, actually, you're correct because, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy. That'll be for all the people. So initially, there was just one angel, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. So an angel appears, and all this glory, and who knows what that was like, light? Maybe, you know, kind of like the northern lights or something. There was this light shining around, and there's this one angel, and he's telling them about the birth of Jesus. Next question. Just what is a heavenly host? Is it an angelic choir? Is it a welcoming angel in heaven, an army of angels, or none of the above?
One sent from God.
One sent from God? What do you say? Eli and Alex have nailed it again. It is an army of angels. Think of it, guys. A whole army of angels. I wonder what they looked like. I mean, were they wearing swords? Were they on horses or something like that? Were they dressed for battle? They were just filled up the sky. Multitude, which could mean millions of angels, like an army of angels, ready to do battle. Yeah, you like those big numbers, don't you, Alex? Yeah. All right. So it literally means a huge army of angels. And what song did the angels sing? Did they sing Away in the Manger? Or no, A Little Town of Bethlehem? Joy to the World? Hark the Herald's Angels Sing? Joy to the World? Well, actually, they didn't really sing. They were saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So they were saying that. Now, were they singing it or saying it? It says saying, so I'm going to go with that. They were saying, glory to God in the highest. Now, look at these words. These words are very important. He's saying, peace to men. The only way we're ever going to have peace on this planet is through Jesus Christ, as everybody submits to Jesus Christ. I remember there was a time where I was, we had an outreach back in a town I used to live in, and there was, me and my pastor were talking to a Jewish person and an Arab person, and we were talking about the Middle East. We said, what do you suppose it's going to take to have peace in the Middle East? And they were both getting their different views, and then we started bringing up Jesus, and the Jewish people took off. But the Arab guy wanted to stay and argue. But it was very interesting that the real way we get peace is through Jesus Christ. And also it says, peace to men on whom his favor rests. The favor of God rests on mankind, so much so he sent Jesus to die, to be born, to die on the cross for our sins. So where was the baby Jesus born? Was he born in a cave, a manger? Was he born in a hurry? A barn? Or who knows? All right. Nobody knows. It says he gave birth to his firstborn son. He wrapped him in cloths, placed him in a manger because there is no room in the inn. And I told you before how they sometimes had the bottom part of their homes was a stable. Actually, you may say that may sound really weird, but my dad grew up in a house, and the house was connected to a barn. One building. One end of the building was a house, and the other part of the building was the barn. That's how they did it in the Netherlands back in the day. Don't judge me. Was my dad born in a barn? I think he was born in the house part. But he does shut the door, or he did when he was alive. Anyway, all right. All right, what is a manger? What is a manger? Alex.
It's a place.
Go ahead. I'm listening to you.
Where animals eat their food or
water. Hey, that guy, somebody's been training this kid. It's a feeding trough. It's a place where animals eat. You okay? That's okay. We expected a little bit of spills and crunchies on the floor when we're done. All right. So here's an interesting thing. You know, it's funny when my brother was farming. He was a dairy farmer. He handed me a broom. He said, "Go clean out the manger." I was helping him on the farm, and I'm looking at him and I'm thinking stable. And really, when you think manger scene, you're thinking of a stable. But the manger is actually just the trough where they fed the animals. And it's an interesting thing. I told you before about these shepherds. They weren't your common shepherd. They were the kind of shepherds who examined the sheep. One of the places they would examine the sheep was in a manger. So when they examined the sheep to make sure it was without blemish, they would lay the sheep in the manger. So when the angels came and said, "You will know this is your Savior because he'll be laying in a manger," that probably had special significance to them. All right. So, guys, what was the good news? What was the good news that the angels brought to the shepherds? What do you think, Micah?
I know Savior was born.
This statement to me is remarkable. This angel is identifying that the Savior is going to save their people from their sins, right? Who is Christ, meaning the Messiah? The Jewish people were looking for years for the Messiah, but also tags on Lord, proclaiming that this is God. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Messiah. And a lot of times when we worship God or when we worship Jesus, we say, "Lord Jesus Christ." All right. All right. What was the sign that the shepherds were to look for? Alex.
The angel said, well, it's not really
a Was it a star over the stable, a barn outlined with Christmas lights? A Babel in a manger, both A and C, or none of the above?
Both A and C.
Well, actually, they were told by the angel, "You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in the manger." They weren't looking for the star. They were looking for a baby in a manger. So what kind of animals were there when Jesus was born? Was it cows, sheep, and camels? Cows, sheep, and donkeys? Lions and tigers and bears? Okay. We don't know. We don't know. It doesn't say in the scripture. When did the baby Jesus cry?
Never.
Well, you know what?
He did not cry.
He probably cried whenever babies needed to be cried because he took on human flesh. He experienced all the things that we experience. And probably when he was hungry, he cried. And when he was cold, he cried. So on and so forth. So what made the shepherds praise God?
Because
the angels. Because they were looking for him.
No, the shepherds
weren't
looking for
D. It's D. It's D. They saw their Savior just as the angel had said.
Okay, they saw their Savior just as the angel had said. And when they had saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child, and all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these things, pondered them in her heart, and then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, heard, and seen as had been told them. So they had an encounter with Jesus. They had an encounter with God. Some of us have had an encounter with Jesus Christ. Some of us have had an encounter with God. So What do you do with an encounter? Because there's another step to take. There is a person to receive. You know, we go over this, and I hope you had fun. I think these kids had fun. At least they're eating the snacks and enjoying themselves with that. And we wound up keeping at least four of them. But the idea is we want the kids to know that there is truth in this story, that it's not a myth. So who is Jesus? He is, and he is God. It says, behold, a virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Right from the start, even when we're looking at the book of John, right from the start, we know that Jesus is God. We also know that Jesus is man. It says in Hebrews 4:15, we do not have a high priest, talking about Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weakness. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet without sin.
He's 100% God and 100% man.
That's right. And he is God in a way we can understand him. And that is why, for the last 9 months, we've been going through the book of John. Because we wanted to know who God is through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the filter through which we can know what God is like. Jesus is God in a way we can understand him. For in Christ, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And also, Jesus is our Savior. Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. For what I received, I passed on to you of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scripture, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day, according to Scriptures. And Jesus is alive today. And he continues on as our advocate before God. It says in Romans 8, verse 34, who is to condemn? Is it Christ Jesus who died? Yes. And who is raised, who is on the right hand of God, who indeed intercedes for us. So Jesus is at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. Do you believe in him today? God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have eternal life. Do you know him? Do you know him as your Savior? Jesus answered and said, don't you know me? Do we know him? Do we know him as who he really is? Yeah, we celebrate him as a baby born in the manger, but we understand that he came to live as a human being, to die on the cross for our sins, that our relationship with God could be restored, and yes, he is coming back. He is coming back. He's going to take us back with him for all eternity. And that's the hope we have in Jesus Christ. Amen? All right. Stand with me if you will. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth in your word. We thank you for the stuff that's in your word that we don't even really see all the time. And Lord, I just pray that we take these words to heart, that we would be prepared to give an account to those who ask us, give an account that's true, that's based on Scripture, and not based on fiction or Hollywood, Lord. I just pray that we could take this message on the streets and tell other people as well. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We'll see you all.